This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
In a week where we thankfully entered the final stages of pre-series Ashes banter, just in time to embrace mid-series Ashes banter, this is Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Can I ask you about Andy Flower? He was at Australia trading the other day.
Was he?
Yeah. Why? He's helping them out.
Is he? I didn't know that.
You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Lipke and Stuart Broad, who was a little bit surprised that Andy Flower was helping the Australians out.
He has been in the England dressing room before,
of
so
course,
slots around a bit.
Yeah. I mean, all these coaches just keep changing who they work for. They're in and they're out. It wouldn't surprise me if, like, Mark Wood showed up at a net session or something for the Australians and decided to help them out. We also did have the Australian players, the ones who'd won the T20 World Cup and the ODI World Cup, as well as the World Test Championship. So I think it's like Cummins and Stark and Smith and Warner.
Yeah.
They were able to ask England if they could borrow the T20 World Cup and the ODI World Cup for a photo shoot with it, which they let them do. Like, nobody cares now. We'll share coaches. We'll share trophies.
Yeah.
It's all very friendly, all very amicable.
Yeah, that's right. Well, if anyone can get their photo taken with the silverware, do you have to even win it? You just ask to borrow it.
Just ask to borrow it. Get a photo taken. It's all very lovely. But there is one cricketer who doesn't want to be friends with the opposition, right?
Oh, yeah. Is this the oldest cricketer in the world?
Yes, indeed. It's Jimmy Anderson. So he's come out and said he doesn't want to know the Australians away from cricket. He doesn't like being mates with them, doesn't want to be mates with them. He likes seeing them as an opponent and he just wants to get into battle against them. So that's lovely, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. A tribute to, I don't know, Alan Border or his ilk.
Yes, definitely a tribute to Alan Border. He did play several tests against Alan Border, so I assume that's why he thinks that way.
Goodness me.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, but we just have time to cover the looming Ashes.
Yes, it's just about here, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Australia haven't changed their squad from the World Test Championship. They're roughly the same.
Yeah, pretty much the same, although we do have potentially a Boland issue, but we'll come to that as we go along, I think. But England have added an extra member to their squad. They've added Moeen Ali has been added after Jack Leach's injury.
Imagine just having one spin bowler. Jack Leach is gone. That's it. We're done. Oh, my God. We don't have another one in England.
Yep. We'll
could have been anyone.
Get Mo out of retirement. I do remember another time almost a decade ago now where the unexpected arrival of a Mo caused havoc in an Ashes series. So maybe this will be history repeating itself.
Yes, that's true. The Mo, he could be the key.
Mm.
He said Moeen said he 100% expected to be targeted by Australia in the Ashes, right? And I would only return for Ben Stokes. He's not exactly talking himself up, is he?
No, but Ben Stokes did, like, apparently the return to the side was just Ben Stokes sending him a text and said, Ashes, question mark. And Allie responded with, lol.
Yeah. Well, it's not how well you spin, it's who you know, right? Because exactly. Stokes and Moen were teammates at CSK during the IPL.
Yeah, yeah.
How on earth can they possibly have a use for a bowler that hasn't played a test in almost 2 years? It's very funny.
I don't know.
His average versus Australia is 64 or something like that.
Yes. It is a shame that Warnie's no longer with us. I'd love to see Pat Cummins just text Warn and say, Ashes? Question mark. Because, Warn would have, all the emojis and stuff. He'd be into it.
Yeah, that'd be incredible. Yeah,
that's a shame.
So anyway, he is an all-rounder. His batting could be handy, and he's only in for the first two tests, I think.
That's all either team has named so far, I think, the first two Ashes tests.
But he expects Australia to come after his bowling, and then he said, I spoke to Baz, and he said he's not bothered about how I perform, which is quite nice. So, and then this one, I'm expecting them to come after me, which could be dangerous because Stokesy likes having the fielders up, so I could go for a lot of runs. So my question to you, Dan, is Moen already part of the Australian setup?
He may.
Because
is this an inside job?
Yeah, he seems to be giving Cummins a lot of tips.
Yeah, that's very funny. Yeah. Anyway, he's perhaps lulling the Australians into a false sense of security.
Yes.
And he's perhaps also not worried because Ben Stokes has come out in the press and he says, as the England men's test cricket captain, he doesn't want any coaches, club captains, commentators, fans or anyone watching cricket to use the phrase, that's a bad shot. So, I mean, that's something for Moen to look forward to. If he does play a bad shot, no one's allowed to say it. Which is one way to play positive cricket, I think. When if you effectively outlaw the use of any negative phrases, that's by definition, all you can play is positive cricket.
That's a very good idea, and I also challenge accepted on the on the expecting Australians not to use that term.
I think we're still allowed to say shit our shot, so yeah, okay. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yes,
how is Bazball going?
Bazball's going fine. Stokes was asked for about the zillionth time whether England were going to stick to their tactics of the last year, and for about the zillionth time he said, yep, we are. And I just wanted him just once to say, actually, no, you're right. This is crazy. We're going to change it all back to what we used to do when we were thrashed. If he'd done that, I would have just, I think there's a referendum on who's going to win the Ashes. I would have cast a vote for England. So
yeah, that's good. Yes. I mean, they are going back to selections from 2 years ago. That's pre-Bazball, right?
That's very
Does Moen know how to play Bazball?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Yes. And of course, the Australian players, they're still very sceptical of all things Bazball. I think
Fantastic.
We had Josh Hazlewood coming out, and Steve Smith continues to say, well, let's wait and see how it goes against our bowlers. Any success England has had over the last year doesn't count. Nah. Hasn't happened against the Australian bowlers.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. And also, if Australia do lose this series, of course, that'll be, well, they haven't done it in Australia yet, have they?
That's right. No, yes. They'll never do it in Australia.
And if they do it in Australia, I mean, that's still 18 months away. Got plenty of time to think of another excuse why it doesn't count.
Bazball may have expired by then.
It may well have, yes. And we do also have the England women, of course, preparing for the Ashes. They've named a 15-player squad to take on Australia, which I think is fair enough. I mean, if they show up with 15 players for the test, they may even have a chance of,
Yeah, it makes it a bit more even, doesn't it?
It's very even, yes.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, there's no more time to muck about. We're about to hit the Ashes, which means I've got 10,000 truckloads of content coming at
you. Content everywhere.
Yeah, so I will be doing. Let's work this out.
Count it off.
Daily report cards of every day of every match of both the men's and women's Ashes. You can, of course, wait for the condensed version, which covers the whole test that I post to the Raw.
Yeah.
But if you do that, you're only getting like 20% of the content you deserve. So don't do that.
Take the drip feed option.
Exactly.
Sign up to one of these things where you can get that.
Yep. There will also be daily podcasts via Anala Stumps, in which I analyse the state of play of every test at Stumps. That's Anala Stumps. There will also be daily updates to an Ashes screenplay, in which I completely reimagine the series through the filter of a Hollywood blockbuster movie, which I think sounds weird, doesn't really make much sense, but it kind of worked the last two series, so hoping it'll work here again.
I think it's everyone's highlight of the Ashes.
Yes. And of course, we will be having weekly-ish episodes of Can't Bowl, Can't Throw.
Indeed, we will, except if we're travelling to the Ashes themselves. We may not be able to record then, but we'll see how we go.
We will. So, yeah, the best way to keep track of all my content is by subscribing to my Substack. So that's danlipke.substack.com. You could subscribe for free, but if you opt for the paid option, you'll get more content as per tradition. And you'll also show your support for all this content creation. So that's danlipke.substack.com.
When's the short ball coming?
Short ball obviously plays a huge part.
Get yourself to play the short ball. The worst thing to do,
play the short ball.
Or you're playing the short ball.
Yeah, we're going to talk about playing the short ball.
The short ball segment is where we take a close look at one particular delivery in a recent match.
Mm-hmm.
And the short ball we're covering today was the last ball before tee on the fourth day of the World Test Championship final.
Yes, a very interesting ball.
Yes, it was Scott Boland bowling.
Yep.
And he was bowling to Shubman Gill.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what Shubman was on at that point.
Yeah, they were doing quite well. They were none for lots, 80 something. They were setting off on this massive run chase with enthusiasm.
That's right. So he jabbed at the ball outside off stump, sent it off to gully.
Yeah.
And Cameron Green took a catch.
Yep, the giant Cameron Green, he stuck his big hand out and took the catch.
Low to the ground, and the umpires then sent it upstairs to verify that it was fairly taken.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Kettleborough was the third umpire, one of our favourite umpires. He's actually my favourite umpire of all time.
Yes.
And he confirmed fair catch.
Yes. So, yeah, a very simple moment, nothing to get too worked up about.
Yeah.
One of a couple of great catches that Green took during the test. But he also balanced that out. He dropped an absolute sitter and he was bold trying to pad the ball away and managing just to deflect it onto his gloves and then his stumps. So, lots of variety from the big tall rounder. He's a very versatile cricketer. He can do lots of crazy catches, lots of funny drops and getting bowled out.
It's almost a tribute to who I presume is his hero, Shane Watson.
Oh, you would hope so. What is his hero?
Watsonian in areas.
Definitely. Anyway, we did have the Indian fans. They weren't particularly happy about the catch. They were certain that on every replay they saw the red ball in contact with green and they therefore assumed that it wasn't taken cleanly.
Yeah. It's his fault for having such a similar name to grass.
Exactly. Yes.
Anyway, the fans at the ground, you know that soft signals are outlawed now.
Yeah, no more soft signals.
No more soft signals.
No one told the fans at the ground though.
No, that's right. The umpires on the ground not allowed to give a soft signal. The fans still allowed to.
Yes.
And they gave a very loud soft signal. There was booing at certain moments and cheering at other moments as replays were shown. Anyway, it wasn't enough to sway Kettleborough because the Kettleman was just following the laws of the game. No soft signal anymore. Kettleman has the final say. Good on him for sticking to his guns or his kettles.
And that was also a crowd that voted Sachin Tendulkar the greatest batter of all time. Yeah. So perhaps not the most neutral of observers. So anyway, we did have very sensible online discourse, very logical. The umpire's decision is final. That's what I saw most online fans saying from India.
Yeah.
A few others were saying, like, it's a shame for Gill, obviously, but sometimes the breaks don't go your way. So a lot of people tweeting that at me.
Is this what happens on Mastodon, this measured response?
Yeah, a tight call and therefore ultimately one best left to a neutral, highly skilled umpire. I saw that a lot as well.
That sounds
on
like Twitter.
Yeah. So, really, really good to see that nobody got too emotional about
it. Except Shubman Gill.
Yes. What happened to Shubman Gill?
Well, I'm too blind to actually see which emoji he was tweeting out, but he tweeted out a cynical emoji in response to.
I think there were a couple of magnifying glasses and something else. I wasn't sure what the third one was.
Maybe it was the shrugging man. I can never tell if it's the shrugging person or the whatever it is. Anyway, that was enough to get him a fine, which is spectacular. It's like the match officials having a good look at Twitter.
Yes, they were. They were logged on. They were following him. They were probably subscribed to him under Elon's new subscribe thing. So anyway, he was fined 15% of his match fee, which went along because there was 100% fine for the entire India team because of slow over rates and an 80% fine for all the Australians. So that meant Shubman Gill was fined 115% of his match fee.
Spectacular.
So he ended up paying to play in the World Test Championship final.
Plus he was dismissed with a freakish catch. So not Gill's best match.
Right? And the other dismissal was him leaving a ball to the game in and took his stumps out.
Yep.
So a great game for Shubman Gill. I love the idea that he paid to take part in the final. I think all the players should have had to pay. I think ideally via an auction. Some kind of auction. The player who, you know, cares the most about Test cricket pays the most. I really wanted to see like Todd Murphy mortgaging his house so he could get a start ahead of Nathan Lyon.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
I'm willing to pay tens of thousands of dollars to have a
That'd be
this.
Great. And maybe they get dollars back if they can get through their overs really quickly, like Mitchell Stark off the short run.
Just so
that he gets a little bit of cash.
Yeah. Well, I think if you've got to pay for it, I mean, that suddenly makes all this warming up in the IPL make a lot more sense, right?
Absolutely.
You've got a lot more cash to spare.
Yeah.
Yes. What were some other highlights of the match?
So we had some wonderful DRS signals from Rohit Sharma, the captain of India. He did a behind the back tee signal early on.
Which
it was just completely nuts.
Yeah, it was quite literally a flexy.
Yeah.
Got both arms behind, just like, nah, I'm going to stretch this out and make a tee where no one can see.
Oh, it was like he was keeping it secret from the Australians on the ground.
Fantastic.
And then later on he did the fake tee signal or the slow approach tee signal with his arms a metre apart that got gradually closer as these teammates talked him out of it or into it. I can't remember
which. Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, he's bringing it in and then they were getting closer and closer to actually connecting and forming the tee and then it's like, nah, I was just joking. So, yeah. Yeah, that was really good stuff from Rohit Sharma. Mm. And may Pat Cummins look a little bit silly and outdated, right?
That's right, very conservative.
Yes. But speaking of reviews, we did also have India making Australia as a whole look silly. Right at the end of, I think it was the end of India's first innings where...
That's right, Siraj was the last wicket
to
fall or maybe to fall.
Yeah, it was LBW and he decided, oh, well, I'll send this upstairs because we've got a review left. I might as well. But that didn't stop Usman Khawaja and David Warner already halfway up the stairs ready to put their pads on, and then Kettle Parra had to pop up on screen and say, we have a clear spike on Ultra Edge Australia. I'll need you to reverse your departure to the dressing room. You're on screen now.
Yep, that was great.
I had to run back.
Kettleman really featured.
He was probably a player of the match, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so. And then, of course, we had Marnus falling asleep, waiting to bat. And he's at the top of the order, you know, really, if one of the one of the bowlers, probably Nathan Lyon, had a bit of a snooze, no one would really care. But everyone is very interested in Marnus seemingly being asleep when he was the next to bat.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great show of confidence in the openers. Very good stuff from Marnus. So good support. We did get his latest newsletter. It popped into our inbox and he claimed in the newsletter that he wasn't asleep. He said, to set the record straight, I was in fact awake and just keeping calm. And then he rabbited on a bit. And he said, if you're in the stands watching every ball, focusing intently on what's going on, it's just going to drain you. So I thought I'd rest my eyes and come out with a relaxed, clear mind. But I did have a good laugh at the footage. So, you know, very, very good stuff from Marnus.
Excellent. Does he ever sleep at the non-striker end as well?
Probably, yeah.
I mean, we know it'd be pretty easy to fall asleep. Like, the overrates are so slow as well. Like, by the time you get someone to the top of their mark, you may as well have a little snooze.
Definitely, other things in Marnus's newsletter, he had lots of photos. I think there was one where he took a photo of the whole team, or someone took a photo of the whole team celebrating with the mace, except for Warner and Lyon. No, I don't know where they were. They were at the back having a smoke or something.
Yeah,
and
probably.
So the caption there was, sorry, Davey and Gary. But I think my favourite one was a photo of Marnus and Smith was holding Marnus's daughter and the caption just said, Uncle Steve.
Steve.
What would Steve Smith be like as an uncle?
I reckon he'd give expensive presents.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think it'd be good.
He'd be a kind of crazy, crazy uncle, right?
Expensive and impractical presents.
Yes.
If you're like 3 or 4 years old, you'd get like a Lego set designed for a 15-year-old, I reckon.
Yes,
he'd be that kind of uncle.
The entire Millennium Falcon or something.
Yes.
Yeah. And the last quote from Marnus's newsletter.
Is this still Marnus's newsletter?
This is still Marnus's newsletter.
We need a new segment called Marnus's newsletter.
I'll see if I can make one up. He said, the other standout for me was Alex Carey, who kept like a genius all game. How do you keep like a genius?
Which kind of genius are we talking here?
I'm not sure. Did Albert Einstein ever keep wicket? I'm
sure he would have.
Yeah. But I'm not sure it would have helped him because like very few bowlers bowl, you know, anywhere near the speed of light. So none of his theorising about relativity would have helped him. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, that's true.
But the tongue poking out, that might have thrown off the opposition batters.
Yes, indeed. That's usually a bowler though.
Yeah, that's true.
He would have made a better bowler.
Yes. Anyway, speaking of relativity, we did have one last piece of nonsense from Marnus. This wasn't in the newsletter. This was when he heard Virat Kohli's edge from Boland in the second innings 2 balls earlier than it happened.
So
I assume
appealed?
That's relativity somehow. Yeah. So he somehow convinced Pat Cummins to send the review upstairs, and Pat for whatever reason, listened to him. And then it was two balls later that Coley actually did edge it to a diving Uncle Steve.
Yeah, so he kind of talked Coley into it.
I think so, yeah. So Marnus has great powers.
Very good, yes.
Anyway, that was pretty much the end of the test because Boland got Jadeja out a couple of balls after that. And, Scott Boland is a great Australian who cares about when we all get to go to bed, which in a very long Ashes series that with nights that end at 3:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, first man picked, I reckon.
Can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller Award.
All right, it's time for the Moeller Award, which celebrates excellence and nonsense in cricket in equal proportion, or perhaps not equal, probably more biased towards nonsense. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, first piece of nonsense was Channel 7, who had the broadcast rights to the World Test Championship final, and they also
had, thankfully, nothing else.
Yes, and they also had James Brayshaw shouting at us the entire time. You'd start it up and this man would just be there yelling at me about something, about it being the grand final of cricket, the ultimate test.
Like, so much yelling.
Quiet, be quiet. and then we'd go to lunch and then they'd bring on bloody idiot footballers and start talking about football the entire time. Very annoying. Not even the code of football that I understand. So complete waste of time as far as I was concerned.
I mean, why can't they just talk about the sport that is happening, you know, the season, and they've flown to the other side of the world to cover this game. Matt, just talk about cricket.
Yeah. They've got an entire channel devoted to football. Go talk about football on that channel. When you're broadcasting cricket, talk about cricket. That's so, Channel 7, my first nomination.
And the next nomination is from County Cricket.
Mm.
Matt Critchley of Essex, he was run out. And he was run out for 121. And at that point, he was attempting an all-run four. Imagine.
That's very keen, isn't it? Yeah. You're 121. You think, we'll just call it three,
back,
mate.
Save your legs. Bloody hell.
Oh, very keen. Very, very Bazball. I think Adam Collins tweeted out that he thinks this is Bazball material. Yes. So, yes.
He should be selected.
Yeah, definitely.
Particularly if he knows
right
how to spin.
Right there behind Mo.
Yeah. Is he a spinner? Maybe.
Let's assume he is, yes. Third nomination we've got here is the most recent episode of Bluey, which is it's got everybody raving. Everybody, I see it all over Twitter.
Who's Bluey?
Bluey is like some kind of cartoon dog, as I understand it. It's like a Goofy or a Huckleberry Hound.
Uh-huh.
But he's Australian, like a Hemsworth or a Minogue.
Right.
And in the latest episode, apparently playing cricket like a Beth Mooney or a Jeff Marsh.
So there you go.
I think you combine all those elements and you have a lot of people very happy.
So, I suppose a blue heeler, right?
I guess so, yes. Mm. Yes. I think
or a red heeler, and it's an ironic name.
Yes, could be. Or a green heeler, and it's named after Cameron Green.
Indeed.
Yes. But I think this episode has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 99.94%, so it's very good, apparently.
Oh, God.
Yes. But knowing your deep hatred of talking animals, are you going to watch it or will you wait for a human reboot?
I am deeply afraid of this already. I do not like dogs talking in any cartoon or real life.
A fair policy. Well, have we got another one?
Yes, we do. We have Justin Langer.
Before this one.
What have we got?
Secure them jail till you do enough jail time to convince anyone this is no setup.
Cut deals that include some jail time?
No jail time.
He's not going to want to hear that you have endangered our operation just to get your thugs out of a little jail time.
He's back.
We never thought we would have so much jail. We've had more jail time segments after, after he got
resigned, back. Whatever he did.
We have Justin Langer, along with every other stale old male commentator, ex-cricketer, commentating the World Test Championship, and I'm not sure. I fear that maybe he's commentating some of the Ashes too.
I think we're safe because I think he's contracted to Channel 7, and they don't have the rights. So I think we're probably safe there.
Okay, so we might see him again in the Australian summer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If we watch Channel 7, which we won't because we'll watch Fox Hill.
Yes.
But anyway, we saw plenty of him.
Mm. And heard plenty from him.
Oh, yeah. So him and Brayshaw and
Hayden. Hayden was the other one. By the end of the test, I just wanted to shove a baggy green into Hayden's mouth and just say, shut up, stop talking.
The mute button was certainly over. Anyway, we were not on mute when we heard this little snippet, which is when Justin Langer said he was complimenting one of the Indian players, and I can't remember which one now. Shubman Gill, probably, who had a black belt in some kind of martial arts.
Yep.
And he basically said, I've got four daughters, but if I had a son, they would have done martial arts. And then he was, I think he was whisked away and given a talking to by some producers. But
nobody ever gives gives Justin Langer a talking to. Imagine him just staring you back at you as you tried to teach him about anything.
Anyway, he was definitely showing elite bravery there to insult the entire female martial arts community.
Yes.
They do exist, JL, and they will come at you.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a very good nomination. I do have a breaking fifth nomination.
Yes, great.
Breaking news. Six and Out will apparently be the headline act at the pre-game show before the third State of Origin in Sydney.
Oh, God, really?
This is true. So that's magnificent news, and that's worthy of a late Muller nomination.
Which song will they be doing?
Oh, I very much hope it's Can't Pull Cutthroat.
That would be justified for all of the bloody footy mentions that come into cricket commentary.
Yep.
Let's insert a bit of cricket into the football.
Yes. So there are nominations. That's a pretty good batch there. Who are we going to give it to?
I'm going to put in a vote for Justin Langer, I think.
Yeah, I think it's got to go to Justin Langer.
I can't give it to a talking dog.
And you can't really give it to Six and Out because they get an implicit nomination every week with their song. So, yeah. So congratulations to Justin Langer. Yeah. Good work, Justin. You get the Muller nomination. And I think that wraps us up, right?
Yeah, that's it for us. And you've been listening to Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. I'm Kat Jones, Cricket Bat Kat. And you've been listening to Dan Liebke. He's at Lieb Cricket and also on his Substack.
Yes, don't forget to subscribe to my Substack, danliebke.substack.com. And that's where you'll get all your Ashes content. And we will see you after the first test.
Social Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.